All right, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to do any review this morning, I don't think, because I'd like to try to get through this particular piece of armor today. And then we've got, I believe, two more after that, and then we'll be finished with this long, very long series. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is the message. It says, "This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you're still on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much this morning for your wonderful, precious word. We esteem your word more than our necessary food. We thank you, Father, because your word is your heart, you speaking to us. And so we thank you this morning for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to help us have ears to hear and eyes to see the truths that we each as individuals need to see. Thank you, Lord, for guiding our steps, for thank you for equipping us for these days that we're living in, that we are well equipped, that we have nothing to fear. Thank you, Lord, we can be confident in our position in you, that we have everything we need to walk through this life and to finish our course with victory. So we thank you this morning for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to look at the shield of faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And so again, using the imagery of a Roman soldier, Paul uses the shield to illustrate what faith is like. And the shield that he's mentioning here, there's two types of shields that the Roman soldiers use. One was just a small round one that they used on their arm. But this shield is a large shield that was actually like a door. It was huge. The whole soldier could stand behind this particular type of shield, so it was large enough to completely cover him. And of course, just for the sheer size of it, you know, that would be an indispensable weapon of defense. It's a defensive weapon. And so, you know, using this language, it's figurative language again, he's talking about the protection that's necessary when we encounter the lies of the enemy. Because remember, the whole point of the armor of God is so that we are able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And boy, I'll tell you, he is good at what he does. And we can be better at what we do. Amen. We need to know our armor, understand it. So the Holy Spirit chose to use that particular word for shield, just to illustrate the reality that God has given us more than enough faith to be up our protection in these days that we're living in. No, it's just the time we need to trust God. We just need to be trust God and to know the nature of God and to know that God has got us covered. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God's dealt to every man that the measure of faith, not a measure, but the measure of faith. So he didn't give some Christians a large amount of faith and others a small amount of faith. God gave us all a measure, the measure of faith, excuse me, the measure of faith. Now, what's different from one Christian to another is that some Christians are acknowledging their faith. They acknowledge the faith that they have and they're using the faith. So if you use it, what happens? You develop, you become developed in it. And so we need to acknowledge it first and foremost. And Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says, "The communication of our faith becomes effectual by acknowledging the good things that are in us in Christ Jesus." You know, part of Christianity is what's called the Great Confession. We are acknowledging, constantly acknowledging the things that belong to us in Christ, the things that have been done on our behalf, the things that belong to us on His behalf because of what He has done for us. And so we have to acknowledge them. We have to learn how to use them. We have enough faith. You know, a lot of people, "Oh, I just need to build up my faith. I need more faith. I need more faith." No, we just need to learn to use what we've got. And how much faith is that? Well, it's enough. I mean, it says here in Ephesians 6 that this shield of faith is enough to quench all the fiery darts, all of them. So we have enough. So some of these things we just need to be confident in. We need to take God at His word and trust Him. We need to acknowledge that I have enough faith to protect me. I have enough faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. I have enough for whatever's going to come along in life. But our job isn't to try to make more faith come, to get more faith. It's just to acknowledge the faith we have and to develop and to use it. It's like muscles. You know, have you ever noticed if you kind of get lazy for a while and then you get up and you start trying to use certain muscles again, how those muscles don't want to cooperate? They're a little slow, a little lazy. Well, that's what our faith is like. Faith is there, but it needs to be exercised and it needs to be developed. It needs to be used so that when we need it, it's right there and ready to be employed. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, this isn't a reference to faith being more important than anything else. Some people have taught it that way. See, your faith is the most important thing. That's really not what this is talking about, that it's the most important, because we've already determined, we've already settled the fact that the belt of truth was the most important because it affects every other piece of armament. So this isn't really a reference to faith being more important than anything else. The word above all, the words above all, means overall or over everything. In other words, it's out in front of everything. It covers everything else. It just covers it all. And so again, that's why Paul would use the picture of this Roman soldier with this large door-shaped shield to cover him, to completely cover him. So it's talking about the position that the shield has, which is out in front, covering everything. And that means our faith should always be out in front. It should always be out in front. We should always be taking a check on ourselves to examine ourselves, as it says in Corinthians, to see if we're in the faith. And it says taking the shield of faith. Again, that means to take up. But I think it's interesting because one of the Greek sources says it means to take up or to pick up something, to pick something back up again. So what this shows me when I was thinking about to pick something back up again means that you can pick it up and you can lay it down. You ever done that with your faith? Just laid it down, kind of just coasted along. Not did anything in an area, maybe just didn't spend any time in the Word regarding certain areas of your life. So you can pick up your faith shield or you can lay it down again. We need to keep it up. He says, pick it up and keep it on. Keep it out in front all the time. We can choose to walk by faith and not by sight. See, again, if you're walking by sight, if you're moved by what you see, if you're always talking the problem, if the circumstances of life are overwhelming you and that's what you got your eyes on, you've laid your shield of faith down. Keep that shield of faith up in front of you. That's what it's for. You can see why Paul used these word pictures to show us the importance of these realities. You know, you can choose to stop believing God in any area of your life. There's times you just need to do a little checkup. What am I trusting here? Am I trusting me? Or am I trusting God? Am I in my finances? Am I trusting me and my ability to handle everything just right and to have it all just laid out perfectly? Or am I trusting God? My health? Am I trusting the medical science? Now, there's nothing wrong with cooperating with medical science, but you don't put your trust there first because they can make mistakes and they can't necessarily save lives. They can help aid in healing, but we need to know who we trust in these areas. So, again, it's above all. Take it up. Keep it where it belongs. And it's never too late to pick it up again. Even if you've laid it down for a while in an area, pick it up. Pick that shield of faith up and begin employing it again. The English Standard Version says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. You know, what soldier would go out in that day, in that particular type of hand-to-hand combat, what soldier would go out onto the battlefield without a shield? Absolutely not. He would not go out without his shield. And yet Christians get up every day. They go out into their day. They go to their work day. They go out into the world with no shield in place. No shield up, no shield out in front of them, protecting them, them having confidence in God for the things they're going to face in that day. And so again, this picture here, this word picture, this figurative language is so important. Having that shield in place out in front above everything else, was his guarantee, that soldier's guarantee of protection. We're guaranteed protection if we're using this weaponry as God told us to use it. And so many of us just venture forth on a daily basis without that shield up there where it belongs and without a shield that's been properly maintained. That's another part of this. We have to keep that shield battle ready because every day the enemy is out to destroy. Remember, what does it say in John 10:10? He has come to steal and to kill and destroy, and he'll do that through his wiles first to try to deceive. So you have to keep that shield ready because the enemy is on task 24/7. You need to have that shield of faith on task 24/7. And that shield, the shields in that day, those shields were composed of multiple layers of tightly woven animal hide. And they had to keep that maintained constantly from day to day. And what they would do to maintain it is they would oil it. They would saturate it with oil and keep it oiled to keep it supple, to keep it, because arrows and darts and spears had a tough time getting through these multiple layers. It was many layers of animal hide that were woven very tightly. And again, what the picture here is that to maintain your shield of faith, you need to stay in the Word. You need to continue to apply the oil, the water of the Word to that shield to keep it maintained and ready for battle. Romans 10:17, we know what that says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Keep your faith strong in these different areas. Keep your faith maintained in these areas. It's talking about the God kind of faith, not human faith, but the God kind of faith. And there's only one place that we can obtain the God kind of faith and strengthen our faith, and that's with God's Word. Again, you can see where the loin belt comes in with every one of these pieces of armor. And faith comes by hearing, not by having heard. So yes, maybe you've heard things about your financial circumstances. Maybe you've heard things in the Word before about that, or if you're fighting a battle in the realm of your health, maybe you know what the scripture says. Get your Bible out and read it. Get it out and look at it. Let your eyes behold it. See it. Don't just let it come out of your mouth, but get your Bible open and read it. Actually read it. Read it in these different areas that you're in a battle with. If you're facing a battle in a certain area, get the Word out and spend some time in there, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Continue to develop your faith and keep it maintained. Keep up a present faith in those things, not something that you heard before that you maybe knew or know, but keep it present, keep it fresh, stay in a continual flow. You know, when Jesus was encountered by the enemy in the wilderness after his time of fasting, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And we all know, we've heard this before, but the Message Bible, so good there. It says, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. So if you're going to walk in divine health, it's going to take a steady stream of God's word, not just a little sip here and there, but a steady stream. If you're going to walk strong financially, if you're going to walk strong, if you're going to have a strong marriage or good work ethics, all of the things that pertain to our life on a daily basis, we need a steady stream of God's word coming. A steady stream, not just an occasional sip, a little bit here. You know, a sip would be come to church on Sunday and I have the pastor hand you a little sip of water. Not to underplay or to downplay the importance of coming to church on Sunday, because that's equipping. But that's not enough. We need a steady stream, constant stream of God's word to keep that shield in a place where it's maintained enough to be able to withstand what the enemy is going to try to bring against us. And then it says that we will be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. The word quench is the same as extinguish. But are we fanning the fiery darts? Are we extinguishing those fiery darts? We have to ask ourselves that. What's our approach? You know, when the enemy brings his wiles against us, If we repeat and talk and act on what the enemy is saying to us, we're fanning it. And that's so often what people do, that the enemy brings something and right away they respond emotionally. They react. They act on that instead of acting by faith. That's the immediate thing. It's not the shield of faith that's out in the front and is the first thing that they respond with. They begin to talk it right away. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Oh, you know, they get all worked up and all riled up. They actually start fanning the flames of that thing. And this tells us we should quench those fiery darts. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And you shall be able is an interesting word. It's a word we've seen many other places before, but it's the word dunamis or dunamis. It's talking about supernatural strength. You have supernatural strength to hold up that shield, to quench those fiery darts, to quench the lies of the enemy when they come. So it's a continuous, productive type of activity. It's the another thing I heard one brother teach this, that dunamis is the same as a dynamo. What's a dynamo? It's a generator. It's not just something explosive type of force. It's a generator. So it's continuous. God's ability, God's strength, supernatural provision and empowerment is continuous. So again, we're just supernaturally, continuously provided and empowered to defend ourselves. But we do have a part to play in it. Remember, this is a partnership. We have to hold up the shield of faith. We have to take up the shield of faith. We have to keep our faith continually maintained and refreshed. Constantly be refreshing it. Kind of like you refresh a page on the website. You know, you have to read. Now, I know that's just a whole different thing, but you have to refresh things occasionally. Keep your faith refreshed. Keep it refreshed. Feed it daily. Feed it in those areas that are seem to be the areas that we come under attack the most. You know, if you're dealing with fear in your life, if you're dealing with anxiety and cares and things like that, keep your faith refreshed in that area. If you're always being attacked in that. So you have to lift up that shield of faith. And when you do that, it acts like a wall of defense. And it's an impenetrable wall. And that enables us to hold our ground. And again, you know, holding our ground just means that we do not back down from what the word says about us. You know, when you hold your ground, you brace yourself. You do not back down. You do not back off. You do not compromise. You don't agree with what the enemy tells you about yourself. You determine, I'm holding my ground. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I have what God says I have. We maintain that position. We do not back down. We do not agree with the enemy. Ever. You do not agree with him. When he comes and slanders you and tells you, this is what you are, this is what's going to happen, this is what you've got, this is all you're ever going to be able to do, you cannot agree with that. Stand your ground. Hold your ground. I'm not talking about it, how you feel about it either. I'm talking about, what do you believe? What do you believe? What's coming out of your mouth on a daily basis? If you'll do that, if you'll hold that shield up and refuse to be moved by those wiles, those verbal attacks, you'll be able to quench those darts when they come. You know, just like the enemy left after a period of tempting Jesus and coming against Jesus with these verbal attacks, he'll leave you too. He will leave. Doesn't mean he'll leave for good, but he'll leave after a period of time. So that shield of faith is able to quench, and that means to quench by dousing, to extinguish by drowning in water. What's the word likened to? Water. Isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it's called the water of the word. So again, we see how beautiful this figurative speech and language and these illustrations that Paul uses are so, they're put in such a way to help us see what these realities are like. If we could make them, bring them into the natural in some way, this is what it would look like. I love that he used the kind of language he did. So what are the fiery darts? Well, first of all, how did they confront these fiery darts, these soldiers? Well, they would soak their shields before they'd go into battle. They'd actually soak them. And so they'd be saturated with water, because they knew oftentimes their enemies would be using missiles or darts or arrows that were incendiary ones. And so again, this just presents the necessity of continuing to stay fresh in the word, strong in the word, continually hearing the word, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just a little daily devotion in the morning, but spending time in God's word, soaking in the word, soaking in scripture. If you're dealing with a health issue, soak in the word. Soak. You're soaking that shield so that when the enemy comes and says, you're not going to make it this time, this one's the big one, this is it, you know, instead of agreeing with him when he brings that thought, we have a shield that's been soaked in the healing power of God, the word concerning the healing power of God. So the word is like water, so we need to soak our faith in water and maintain it and develop it. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see if you're in faith. We need to stop and examine ourselves. What am I trusting in? Am I trusting in me? Am I trusting in the doctors? Am I trusting in all the things I'm doing in a natural sense? Those things are good to do. But you can't put your trust there. Your trust has got to be in God, and it has to be strong. Now, what were those darts? What were those fiery darts that Paul uses here as the attacks of the enemy, these wiles? They're like fiery darts. A fiery dart was an arrow, and its tip was wrapped with fabric that was either soaked in flammable fuel or pitch, or it had a hollow shaft in which there was some kind of flammable substance. And so the Greeks would use that kind of arrow where there was a hollow shaft, and then they would fill that with some kind of explosive powder or something like that, or a fluid that was flammable, and then on impact it would explode. And so again, you think about fiery, that just gives us a picture of the origin of the attack. It's coming right out of hell. It's a fiery dart. And it says the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, the word wicked is talking about malicious. He was vicious. He has nothing in good in store. When he comes and he sows his lies, his wiles to you, he does not have your good in mind. It's wicked, it's vicious, full of hardship, and bringing all trouble and sorrow. That's the whole point behind an attack of the wicked one. But remember, his weapons are limited to wiles. He is limited to being able to use wiles only. All he can do is bring deception and in the form of thoughts. That's how he comes. And if he can get you to buy the thought, to take the thought, take no thought saying, if he can get you to do that, well, then that arrow has hit and it's ignited. And that's not what we want to do. So when they hit and when they ignite, they can explode. And have you ever noticed that when something like that happens, when the enemy comes against you with a lie like that and it hits its target, it can cause this volatile reaction in you? Have you ever seen somebody just react just violently by something that the enemy comes and tries to bring against them? He'll come and say, you've got cancer and you're going to die. Your marriage is over. Your kids are going to serve the devil. He'll come with lies like that. And if we believe those lies, they've hit their target. There's this, often with that comes this volatile reaction of fear or anxiety, sometimes anger, things like that that'll hit. You'll know if the enemy's hit his mark by the way that you can react. When something happens, it looks like it's to your hurt and you react violently. Well, that's a fiery dart that just exploded on impact, and it's had an impact on you emotionally. So you can see that, again, this beautiful illustration that Paul's using here, why it's so important for us to pay attention to this. So again, that's why it's so important for us to submit ourselves on a regular basis to the Word on a daily basis. Submit ourselves to the Word of God. Keep ourselves saturated in the Word of God, because that's our only defense against those wiles. And you know, he's going to come and he's going to lodge those arrows, try to lodge them, arrows of doubt, arrows of unbelief, and with the purpose to destroy us. He's not coming to help us or to bless us. When those thoughts come, they're not meant to bless, they're meant to destroy. And if they're able to penetrate, in other words, if you believe them, you empower them. So when he comes and he lies to you and he says, you're going to go under financially, and you believe that, you empower it. That's going to become your reality. We have to choose who we believe and what we believe. So every time we believe it, every time we agree with what the enemy comes and tells us, we're empowering it rather than extinguishing it. So again, you're fanning it rather than quenching or extinguishing it. And again, every one of those wiles has the potential to become a reality in our lives, to replace our God-given realities with demonic, wicked realities. That's the goal of the enemy, is to come and to steal and to kill and to destroy. And another thing about that about those fiery darts was they would be almost like the poison of an asp. The purpose would be to come and to paralyze and then to ultimately destroy. And that's what the devil does with people sometimes, is he'll come and he'll sow a lie. And rather than extinguishing that lie immediately, the person will begin to think on it and think on it some more. Pretty soon, it slowly but surely, they become paralyzed by believing that lie. And pretty soon they start acting on it. And then they take more steps of action on it. Pretty soon they're living by sight, walking by sight instead of by faith, and it's just a matter of time before it actually destroys them. So you can see why the shield of faith is, it's above all. It's out in front of everything else. It's got to be out there all the time. You can't lay it down. You don't dare lay it down. You need to keep that shield of faith up at all times. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he shall provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So that's what that shield of faith represents. It represents our means of extinguishing and quenching those lying accusations that the enemy tries to bring against us. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations. Can you see why you cannot entertain any of those imaginations? Because they have the potential to explode in your life and to become your reality. We have to cast down every thought. Take every thought into captivity. People might say, well, that's just too much trouble. Oh, it's too much trouble to be always on top of things like that and to always be dealing with my thoughts and to have to take every thought captive. Well, how much trouble do you think those fiery darts will produce if they hit their mark? You ever had any of that trouble in your life? You ever had a financial mess or a physical, a health mess to deal with? That's a lot of trouble, isn't it? It's a lot of work. So remember, the goal of this is, it's a malicious attack. It's a vicious, hurtful, full of hardship, full of trouble and sorrow. That's the whole goal behind these things that the enemy brings against us. So we've got to keep that shield out in faith. If you ignore your faith, or if you allow your faith to remain underdeveloped and underexercised, you will be vulnerable. Not just vulnerable, highly vulnerable. And the other thing, oftentimes what soldiers would do is they would hook their shields together and they would present, you've probably seen it like in the Lord of the Rings, if you saw the Lord of the Rings, or some of the old movies like that, where they're walking, they're advancing on the enemy and they've got their shields hooked together and it's like a wall of defense. I think that's talking about the corporate faith, where we as a body can come together and use our faith against the enemy and make advancements into the enemy's territory. But I was thinking about how important corporate faith is. You know, when a believer gets taken out, sometimes people that are very strong in faith, we saw this happen a number of years ago with a woman who was very well known, a well-known minister in our circles, and she got attacked with cancer and she died. She fought a good fight, but she died. And how that can affect the whole community. The whole faith community, can be affected by things like that. The loss of a member like that, somebody who was a strong believer, can shake the faith of a congregation. So you can see why it's so important for a congregation to maintain a strong wall of defense against the enemy, and what people can come to these conclusions. Well, see, if that person died or if this happened to this person, well, that healing must not be for today then. So then we hear people coming to conclusions about realities of God based on experience instead of on the truth. So we need to see even the corporate importance of our shield of faith. When you lay your shield of faith aside, it can have an effect on the person sitting next to you. If they see you overcome, if they see you overwhelmed by the attacks of the enemy, especially younger believers. So we have a responsibility, not just for ourselves and our families, but for the welfare of other members of the body of Christ as well, because the outcomes of our battles can have a great impact on other people. If they don't see you stand and you continue to hold your ground no matter what, if you just lay down that shield and give in and surrender, that causes people to come to certain conclusions. And, you know, God wants us to see that we have power when we come together and when we are strong. But you as an individual, your faith really does have a great impact on other people as well. So above all, taking the shield of faith, keep that shield out in front. Keep it maintained. Keep it developed. Realize you can't go out and face your day without that shield out in front. Because it's not if the enemy attacks you that day. The enemy will attack you in some way that day. It may not be through another person. It may not be through any kind of circumstance that comes. It just might be some kind of lie he's trying to sow you to you about yourself. Oftentimes, they just come out of nowhere. And you know those little arrows, the ones that had the little hollow shaft that was filled with the flammable, they look like little innocent arrows. Sometimes the wiles of the animal just look innocent. They just look like they're little innocent things. Oh, that's not so bad, you know. Oh, you know, this is not such a bad thing for me to entertain or to think about. But when it hits its mark, again, it's when it hits its mark and explodes that it starts to do the damage. So we have to see that this shield has to be up. We have to be so vigilant with our minds. We have to be so vigilant about the things that we believe and that we think on. That's why Philippians says, think on these things. Was God just a prude? Is that why he tells us that? He's just a prude and he doesn't want us to enjoy life. No, God knows the consequences of improper choices. What'll happen down the road when we make the wrong choices, when we choose to think on the wrong things and ultimately to act on the wrong things. He knows these are the consequences for this. So don't do this. It's protection. Amen. All right, we're going to stop there and spend some time in prayer. Glory to God.